number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
It's been a very messy morning. We're still seeing rain, but there's the back edge of it. I'll show you when the rain stops where you are.
It's just kids having a good time for Christmas, and then this SUV comes barreling through.
Brand new information this hour on that holiday celebration that turned into a deadly scene in Wisconsin. What we've learned about the person arrested for plowing an SUV through a Christmas parade.
Plus, Fort Bragg is preparing for a visit from the Commander-in-Chief and First Lady Jill Biden. We have a preview of this special Thanksgiving celebration. That chilly rain is still falling across parts of our viewing area. It'll taper off this afternoon, and then temperatures will turn colder. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us on this dreary day. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at when the rain will end where you are.
That's right. You can see the back edge of it right here. So it's coming. But I tell you what, I was out just a little while ago. It was still coming down across most of our viewing area. Let's take a look at where the rain is heaviest. A lot of that heavier rain is actually south and east of the Triangle area right now. So we're looking at that, of course, continuing to slide eastward. So the rain is starting to lighten up a little bit, especially back to our west. You can still see plenty of rain. Fayetteville, Dunn, Goldsboro, on through Sampson County, Wilson, Rocky Mountain, Roanoke, Rapids. But it's over now for Roxboro and for Orange County as well. How much have we seen? Well, we've seen half an inch right around the Triangle area, a little more than that in Southern Pines, and about a third of an inch in our eastern county. So it's been a fairly significant rainfall for us. We take a look at Futurecast and we push it ahead in time. We'll pause it right here at 2 o'clock, and you can see the rain is over for most of us by 2 o'clock. So it's coming, and then everybody else should be drying out by 3, and then the sunshine returns. But that sunshine will come with some colder air. It's going to feel very chilly overnight tonight. As a matter of fact, look at that, 22 in Roxboro, 24 Lewisburg, 27 in Raleigh, 24 in Siler City, 27 in Rayford, 29 in Fayetteville. You get the idea. It looks like everybody's going to be in the 20s overnight tonight. But looking ahead at Thanksgiving, it looks pretty nice. I'll show you what will change between now and then coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. New information continues to emerge about injuries at a Christmas parade in Wisconsin. We now know the Children's Hospital received 18 patients for treatment. More than 15 others are being treated at other hospitals. And 5 people were killed when an SUV drove through the parade route. Megan Fitzgerald reports the driver has been identified.
Well, what we know at this point is Children's Hospital is confirming that they have 15 patients. They have not yet commented on the condition of those children. We are expecting to hear more in the coming hours. But we know that more than 40 people are injured. 5 people have lost their lives. Unfortunately, it's possible that that number could rise in that we know several people are in critical condition. But we're talking about a family event here where children were anxiously awaiting the arrival of Santa Claus, who is just moments away when police are now confirming to us that this person of interest is 39-year-old Daryl Brooks. He was driving this red SUV, plowing through the middle of this parade route, taking out everyone in its path. Now, law enforcement officials have confirmed to NBC News that they do not suspect that this was an act of terrorism, and they also don't believe that this is in any way connected to the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict from just last week. But there's still a lot of unanswered questions here, more information that we are expecting to get as law enforcement methodically and slowly try to process this scene and continue to question this person of interest to get to the answers of why this happened. And so that is certainly something that you will be following closely throughout the day. Back to you.
That was Megan Fitzgerald reporting from Waukesha, Wisconsin. This morning, the governor of Wisconsin ordered all U.S. and state flags be flown at half staff in wake of the tragedy. The order ends at sunset.
Soldiers and families at Fort Bragg are getting ready to host the president and first lady for an early Thanksgiving celebration this evening. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is live at the main gate of the Army base to tell us what we can expect from today's presidential visit. Matt?
Yeah, Jeff, President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden are scheduled to arrive here at Fort Bragg around 5:30 this evening. They'll be joined by Governor Roy Cooper and his wife, Kristen, to serve Thanksgiving dinner, an early Thanksgiving dinner here to the service members and their families. This will be the president's first visit to Fort Bragg since taking office. The First Lady, you may remember, traveled to Camp Lejeune in North Carolina here back in September following the deaths of 13 service members in a bombing in Afghanistan. And that did did include a Special Forces soldier stationed here at Fort Bragg. This is also home to the final American soldier to leave Afghanistan back in August, so lots to celebrate here for those families. This evening at 6, the Bidens and Coopers will serve dinner for what they're calling Friendsgiving. Now, this is part of the First Lady's, Jill Biden's Joining Forces initiative, which supports military families, their caregivers, and children. More than 20,000 family members call Fort Bragg home here. WRAL's Brian Mims is going to be inside the post here. He will bring us coverage throughout the afternoon as the Bidens and the Coopers arrive here at Fort Bragg. Live coverage will start on WRAL News at 4.
The president on post, always a big day. Matt Tallhelm, live at Fort Bragg. Thank you.
95% of the federal workforce is in compliance with the Biden administration's vaccine mandate. The White House is expected to make the announcement official later this afternoon. One source within the White House says the compliance figures exceeded the administration's expectations. Over 90% of federal workers have received at least one shot, and the other 5% submitted exception applications that were already approved or are pending. 2021 has now seen more COVID deaths than 2020. That's according to the running tally from Johns Hopkins University. In total, more than 770,000 people in the U.S. have died from COVID. This year's numbers are about 100 more than last year's total. Experts say that is due to low vaccination rates and the Delta variant.
The chief medical advisor to President Biden says you don't need to wear a mask during Thanksgiving in a family setting if you're among people who are vaccinated. However, Dr. Anthony Fauci says you should use caution when traveling or in an indoor setting without knowing people's vaccination status. Dr. Fauci also says health experts are closely monitoring the efficacy of the vaccine. It remains unclear how often people might need to get booster shots in the future. Tonight, WRAL takes you inside the work of developing vaccines here in the Triangle. We will have an inside look at Duke's Human Vaccine Institute as part of Our Best Shot. The WRAL special airs tonight at 7:30 p.m.
A short time ago, we got a look at how much state charities received in donations this year. North Carolina Secretary of State Elaine Marshall released the annual charitable solicitation report. WRAL's Ken Smith joins us with those numbers and what this means for your charitable giving. Ken.
And you know, Renee, we want to point out this is just a snapshot of charitable giving in our state. Let's take a look at the report by the numbers from July 1st, 2020, covering June 30th of this year. The report shows during the 12-month period, charities licensed by North Carolina received more than $34 million. That number was about $10 million less than the year before. Now, in terms of money that went to charities' programs, that figure was $26.6 million, again, more than $9 million less than the previous year. And taking a look at these numbers, that about 78% of every dollar donated went to programs from many charities. Now, the bottom line, according to Secretary of State Marshall, overall donations are down, but the effectiveness of charitable giving remains at an all-time record high. Now, the backdrop for today's announcement was the Interfaith Food Shuttle Child Food Hub in Durham, an organization on the front lines of eliminating food insecurity for our children. Now, one piece of advice Secretary Marshall had for all of us, she said, before you write that check, make sure you do your homework on the charities to which you're planning to donate. Renee?
And whatever you can give, it will make an impact.
Absolutely.
Ken, thanks.
President Joe Biden plans to nominate Jerome Powell to serve as chairman of the Federal Reserve for a second term. Powell's four-year term is up in February, and the president faced a key decision of whether to keep Powell. He has bipartisan support. However, some voices of opposition have come from some progressive Democrats. Senator Elizabeth Warren has criticized his track record on voting to deregulate Wall Street. Let's take a look at how stocks have responded to that news. And they got a big jump this morning. Dow Jones Industrial Average, as you see, is up right now 263 points. On the flip side, the Nasdaq is down 117 points at this hour.
Next at noon, closing arguments in Georgia. The trial of the three men accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery is about to go to the jury. What's next in this high-profile murder case?
Also, a deadly fire in Baltimore. Why firefighters are still on that scene and the search for the cause.
Plus, the holiday travel rush is on. How weather and a flood of people could slow your trip.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Closing arguments began this morning in the trial of three white men charged in the deadly shooting of Ahmaud Arbery last year. Both sides are expected to spend hours making their final case to jurors. Charles Watson reports, if convicted, all three defendants could face life in prison.
The fate of three white men charged in the killing of 25-year-old Ahmaud Arbery will soon be in the hands of jurors. Prosecutors and defense attorneys are spending hours delivering closing arguments today.
The jury is here and ready to go.
Both sides rested last week after 10 days of testimony from more than 20 witnesses. Now they'll get one last chance to make their case.
All three of these defendants made assumptions about what was going on that day, and they made their decision to attack Ahmaud Arbery in their driveways.
The three defendants pled not guilty to murder and other charges in Arbery's death. Defense attorneys argue Greg McMichael and his son Travis suspected the 25-year-old of burglary and tried to conduct a citizen's arrest. Their neighbor, William Roddy Bryan, joined the chase and recorded cell phone video of Travis shooting Arbery at close range. The younger McMichael, who was the defense's star witness, testified he shot Arbery in self-defense as they wrestled over his shotgun. But under cross-examination, acknowledged Arbery never threatened him or showed a weapon.
Didn't brandish any weapons?
No, ma'am.
Jurors will begin deliberating after closing arguments, but the panel's racial makeup has faced criticism, the judge allowing the seating of just one black juror and 11 white members. This despite prosecutors' objections during jury selection that some black potential jurors were cut due to their race.
The McMichaels and Bryan face life in prison if convicted on the most serious charge. You can watch the closing arguments throughout the day live in the WRL News app.
I'm Micaiah Thurman here in the WRL Live Center. We are following that breaking news from Wisconsin after that deadly Christmas parade. We know that five people were killed, 40 hurt, and many of them were children. What's happening right now is the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin has a news conference underway. We've learned lots of new information. So here's the latest. We know 3 to 16 years old. That's how old the kids were who were taken to the hospital. We know that of the group, 3 sets of them were actually siblings. They say that the injuries vary from face scratches to broken bones, and many of them had surgery last night. Many more still have surgery today. They've not gone into detail about just how many children are currently in treatment, but we know in total 18 patients taken to the largest trauma center in Wisconsin trying to help them. Of course, these kids were performing and on the sidelines of the Christmas parade. So prayers going out to all of the families that have been impacted. Back to you.
Micaiah, thanks for the update. Baltimore officials are searching for the cause of a fire that killed 3 people and injured 6 others. The fire started just after 3 o'clock this morning on the east side of the city. 5 children and 1 adult are being treated for injuries. The fire is out now, but crews remained on that scene for hours, putting out hot spots. A jewelry store owner in California spent hours cleaning up broken glass and shattered cases after a crowd of looters used hammers and other tools to steal merchandise. Witnesses say a large group of people caused a disturbance about 30 minutes before the store closed. Several other stores in the mall were also targeted. However, it's unclear if it was the same group. So far, no arrests have been made.
2 missionaries who were taken hostage in Haiti last month have been released. The Christian Aid Ministries said they were safe and in good spirits. 15 people are still being held by a gang that kidnapped them. The identity or ages of the 2 people released is still unclear, but they're believed to be American. The Taliban issued a new religious guideline that called on the country's television channels to stop showing dramas and soap operas featuring women actors. The Taliban also called on women television journalists to wear Islamic hijabs while presenting their reports. The Taliban already introduced rules for what women can wear at university and beaten and harassed several Afghan journalists despite promising to uphold press freedoms.
Federal agency managing U.S. national parks is making an important first in its history. The U.S. Senate confirmed Charles Chuck Sams III as the next director of the National Park Service. Sams will be the first Native American to lead the agency in its 105-year history. Sams is Cayuse and Walla Walla Native American and is a member of the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation in Northeast Oregon. He has more than 25 years' experience in the agency. Michael Cohen is expected to finish his 3-year prison sentence today. Donald Trump's former personal attorney has been under house arrest in his posh Park Avenue apartment for the past year after he was released from prison due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Cohen helped to pay off two women who said they had affairs with former President Trump. Trump has denied the affairs.
We are just 4 days away from the second annual WRL Nights of Lights, and tickets are still available. This year's COVID-safe event features a longer route through Dorothea Dix Park. There will also be fewer cars for the dazzling light show with special creations by local artists. Children of all ages can enjoy the holiday fun from November 26th through December 24th. To get your ticket, go to WRL.com/lights. And some of us from the WRL family got to see a preview of Nights of Lights over the weekend. My family drove through it. Elizabeth, you got to bike through it.
I did the double dose. We did the Friday night drive through the family. And then some girlfriends of mine from the neighborhood decided to ride through last night. I tell you what, unfortunately, I think all the bike nights are booked. But if you get a chance to do that next year, it was great. I think we'll take the whole family next time. It was so much fun last night. But, you know, it's not been a very fun morning. We have the rain that's been over us. But watch how quickly all of a sudden the back edge of it has started to move through. So we're seeing the back edge through Durham right now. Very quickly, this is going to slide eastward. The rain will stop and gradually we'll see some clearing by the end of the day. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like it's just going to rain all day, but it isn't. We're going to see this rain sliding eastward. Still plenty of rain in Fayetteville and Clinton and Goldsboro. We'll move up to the north, rain in Henderson. But look at that. The back edge of it is pushing past I-85 now and eventually past I-95. Let's go through time and talk about the temperatures and the back edge of the rain. So our temperatures right now are in the mid-50s. We've pretty much held steady all day long. We push it ahead to 2 o'clock. So we just give it, you know, a little less than two hours. And we start to see the back edge of the rain moving through. Temperatures will still be around 50 or so. Then the end of the rain for the entire viewing area happens at around 3. Temperatures are still holding steady in the low to mid-50s. But once we get closer to sunset, our temperatures will start to drop quickly. At 6 o'clock, looking at some mid to upper 40s and parts of the viewing area, and at 8 o'clock, still looking at 40s, but very quickly we're going to see our wind shifting to northerly and our temperatures will drop through the 30s and then into the 20s. So we are definitely looking at some chilly temperatures as we see this precipitation moving on by. Goldsboro's wet finally, Apex wet in Chapel Hill. Look at that. There's the blue sky. I just showed you the back edge of the clouds. And you can see the blue sky breaking out there in Chapel Hill. So it's coming. It won't be a terrible afternoon. Durham Newsroom, of course, looking wet right now. Here's a look at our front. Again, you can see the clearing back to our west, and then high pressure builds in behind this, and that's going to keep things dry, but help to push in some colder air. So a big cold air mass comes in tonight and sticks with us for a few days. So it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster ride from mid-50s now to 47 the high tomorrow, but with sunshine, but with wind too. Northwest wind at 16, so a blustery, chilly day for Tuesday. And then our temperatures rebound a little bit back to 52 on Wednesday. Some cold mornings too. 38 is our normal low. We'll be in the mid-20s for the next couple of mornings. 41 on Friday. We're going to see some showers Friday morning, and then we cool back down over the weekend with overnight lows in the 20s. But fortunately, Thanksgiving looks like the nicest day of the week from here on out anyway. 55 degrees at lunchtime, and we'll see a high around 62 in the afternoon. We always like to go for a walk after a Thanksgiving meal. Looks like it's going to be good for that. After that, we're all eyes on Friday. It looks like we'll see some rain in the morning, but it looks dry for our first nights of lights. We'll take a look at that forecast in just a few minutes. Back to you.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Join us tonight on WRL's News for at 6 for a very specific kind of forecast. Okay, that's when our team of meteorologists offers the winter outlook. Elizabeth joins Mike Mays and Kat Campbell to share their predictions on how much snow and cold we will see. That is tonight at 6.
Also tonight at 5:30, a story you'll see only on WRL. Monica La Liberty investigates mounting complaints against a contractor. One family paid a $75,000 deposit, but work never started. Five on Your Side asked the owner how he planned to make things right. When it comes to supply chain issues, the worst is behind us. That's a word from a top economics expert when he expects the backlog at U.S. ports to be clear.
Plus, we're exactly a week away from Cyber Monday, but you can shop early deals now. We'll have a sneak peek at the season's must-haves from Amazon after the break.
I'm Micaiah Thurman here in the WORL Live Center with a major announcement. Jeff Bezos just donating $100 million to Barack Obama's private foundation. Of course, it's known as the Obama Foundation. And for the foundation, it is the largest gift yet. This tweet just went out within the past 30 minutes from the New York Times. Now, in return for the donation, Bezos is asking that a plaza at the Obama Presidential Center be named after Congressman John Lewis and connecting it to his legacy. An interesting thing about this is there aren't too many civil rights leaders with properties, and they said in the announcement that they, quote, hope that it will change the paradigm around naming public spaces. Now, Bezos did not put any rules on how that $100 million will be spent, but it's certainly a large chunk of change. Back to you.
No doubt about that. After months of delays, the supply chain is showing signs of improvement. This comes just in time for holiday shopping. Plus, Ghostbusters Afterlife, a big winner at the box office this weekend. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Supply chain problems are finally showing signs of easing. The number of ships waiting to unload at Southern California's ports has dropped to 71 from 86 over the last week. And some big U.S. retailers say they're stocked up and ready to go for the holidays. Despite the improvement, the Wall Street Journal says a return to more normal operations may not happen until next year. The possibility of extreme weather or surges in COVID-19 cases could again cause problems. Airlines are bracing for a surge in travelers this week. The TSA expects to screen about 20 million people from this past weekend through next Sunday. That would come close to matching the number for the same period in 2019 before the pandemic. The airlines say they're ready for the rush of flyers. Southwest American and JetBlue are among the carriers offering bonuses to make sure they have enough workers for the holidays. A strong opening for Ghostbusters Afterlife at the box office. The comedy took in $44 million in ticket sales over the weekend. That was good for the top spot. Eternal slipped to second with almost $11 million. Hollywood is gearing up now for the start of the usually strong holiday season. Among the Thanksgiving weekend releases is the animated Encanto from Disney. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber from the Money Desk.
Amazon is offering a sneak peek of deals that it will roll out over this weekend ahead of Cyber Monday. Today, customers will find discounts on popular and must-have items, including Samsung and LG devices, Cuisinart kitchen appliances, as well as toys from Hasbro and Lego. There will also be deals available from third-party sellers. Prime members will get 30 minutes of early access to lightning deals throughout the holiday season. Spotify has removed the shuffle button as a default option from album pages, forcing songs to be played in order. And the move was apparently prompted by a request from Adele, who asked the songs on her new album 30 be played in the right order. While the shuffle button no longer appears on the album page, the option is still visible when you click to view a specific track.
Democrats have notched a victory in the House. Coming up, how Republicans are now doing their best to block the Build Back Better bill in the Senate.
And the Thanksgiving holiday just days away, but a number of things could disrupt your travel home. We'll take a look at the concerns and potential delays coming up. But first, here are the winning lottery numbers.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
House Democrats were ecstatic after passing the president's $2 trillion domestic spending plan in a nail-biter vote on Friday. But now the evenly split Senate gets its say.
Caroline Shively reports there is already talk that the bill will have to be scaled way back to win the vote of every single Democrat.
The Build Back Better bill is passed.
Victory was sweet for House Democrats on Friday, but it could be brief.
Every single Republican is opposed to it. We just need one Democrat, just one, to oppose it, and this bill dies in the Senate.
Republicans have two Senate Democrats in mind, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. The moderates still haven't said they'll vote for the president's nearly $2 trillion social safety net and climate change bill. It'll take substantial changes, including on the price tag, to get their support. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office found that the House bill will add $160 billion to the deficit over 10 years. The White House maintains the measure is paid for, and Democrats sound confident they'll be able to move the bill through the Senate.
We have a great opportunity here to do some great things in child care and affordable housing and in climate and lowering prescription drug costs and health care costs overall. And I think we can do it.
But House Republicans say they're not done fighting.
If the Senate changes it, any of those changes has to come back to the House. So we have another bite at the apple here.
That was Caroline Shively reporting. Congress is off this week for Thanksgiving recess, but Senate Democrats want a vote before Christmas.
A new skate park could be coming to Southern Pines. Town Council is holding a work session today to consider options for skateboarders in that community. The discussion follows a meeting over how the activity should be handled in the downtown area. Leaders haven't said where a new skate park would be built or what it would look like. That work session starts today at 1:45. Today is also the deadline for developers to get a chance at overhauling Durham's old police headquarters. Today's the deadline for developers to get that chance at what they'll do with the old headquarters. They have until 5 p.m. to submit their qualifications to replace the building on West Chapel Hill Street. It has remained vacant since the city's police department moved out in 2019. The city owns the land and has prioritized developments for the space that include affordable housing.
Raleigh police are searching for a missing mother and her two sons. We're talking about 37-year-old Michelle Servery and her two sons, Grant and Rex, who are 9 and 4 years old. The mother and sons were last seen on Alumni Drive Sunday morning. If you see her or her children, call police. We're working to get an update on the condition of a 12-year-old girl in Moore County who was injured in an accidental shooting. It happened during a turkey shoot near Robbins. Investigators say the gun was leaning on a railing when someone knocked it over, causing it to go off. The pellets hit four people. Three had minor injuries. The 12-year-old was sent to the hospital. Officers say they don't expect to file any charges.
I'm Micaiah Thurman here in the WOREL Live Center. Just within the past hour, we got an update on our state COVID numbers. So from over the weekend, we saw about 5,600 new cases since Friday. That is 800 more than we saw last weekend. Certainly seeing things trend in the wrong direction. And our daily percent positive staying at 6.3% today. That is just slightly higher than last week's 6.2%. So as for our WOREL data trackers, as we're following those COVID trends leading into the holiday, we know that things are going in the wrong direction. Back to you.
And all that right now, the start of the holiday week travel rush. It is underway with weather concerns that could slow your trip home. A pandemic record number of passengers is flooding the nation's airports. This is a live look at RDU right now. Tom Costello explains how all these factors could affect your holiday travel.
In Atlanta this morning, the nation's busiest airport is back to normal after gunfire and panic on Saturday.
I don't know what's happening, but everybody's running.
Thousands of passengers running for cover. The FAA issuing a ground stop, temporarily pausing all aircraft operations on the ground. It happened at a TSA checkpoint at 1:30 p.m. when the TSA says an officer spotted a prohibited item in a passenger's carry-on bag and pulled it aside.
During that secondary search, the passenger lunged into his property, grabbing a firearm that was located inside, which ultimately discharged.
Police identify the suspect as 42-year-old Kenny Wells, a convicted felon who then fled through an airport exit with his gun. While no one was injured by the discharge, three people suffered minor injuries during the evacuation.
People just came flying through and just were like, run, run.
Atlanta leads the nation in TSA gun confiscations, a record 450 so far this year, more than one every day. Saturday's chaos coming at the start of what's expected to be a record pandemic travel period. More than 2 million airline passengers traveling each day over the Thanksgiving period.
It's one of our first trips since the COVID pandemic, so we're excited about it, but we're also a little nervous.
While wind and rain could slow operations today in the Northeast, three airlines are feeling the pressure to perform after suffering operational meltdowns in recent months. Spirit, Southwest, and American all say they're ready after streamlining their schedules and staffing up. Southwest even offered its crews frequent flyer points to work over the holidays. American has offered financial incentives to pilots and flight attendants, though American's pilots rejected the offer, insisting mismanagement and antiquated scheduling systems are to blame.
The history shows that every time weather hits, it's days after that we take to recover, and then we're in the headlines for all the wrong reasons.
Taking selfies may be the last thing you feel like doing after surgery. Why doctors say they can help with your recovery. And this 3-second video of Tiger Woods on the green has so many people talking. what he had to say for the first time in months after a serious car crash left him injured. If you are flying out or expecting out-of-state guests for the holidays, you can track every flight at every airport nationwide in the WRAL News app. Search Flight Tracker. The City of Raleigh wants to help fund your next artistic project. Neighborhood Art Fund supports projects for local neighborhoods that support artistic and cultural exploration, connection, and understanding. Joining us to talk about how you can apply for the grant is Barbette Hunter. Barbette, thank you so much for joining us. Walk us through this process of applying for this grant. Anyone can apply if they want some art in their neighborhood?
Thanks for having me, Renee. Yes, anyone can apply. We have two different levels of the Neighborhood Art Funds. Level one is more of a for an individual or maybe a group that's in the community or in a neighborhood, and they want to put together some type of art project. It could be a sidewalk mural or maybe giving out, you know, art supplies within the community. And then level two is more designed for neighborhoods or homeowners associations, or maybe a community watch group.
So how many proposals do you get typically in a year, and how do you make those selections?
Wow, we get a good number of proposals because the project is continuous throughout the year. So we're all constantly receiving proposals. And as I said before, we have individual group levels, and then we have the neighborhood community groups. And so it usually takes about, once we receive the application, we review it, and then it takes about 3 weeks for us to get back to that individual that submitted the application to let them know whether or not it has been accepted and it's going to move forward and be funded.
And how much money can people or organizations get from this grant?
That's a great question, Renee. For the level one grant, that is funded up to $250. For the level two funds, the funding maximum is $1,000. And with the level two, that must be matched by at least 50% of the cost of the project.
And Barbette, we've been seeing some examples of the art in the neighborhood, I guess, of previously funded projects. Describe some of the cool projects that the Neighborhood Arts Fund has recently paid for.
Yes, thank you for asking. Well, currently we are doing a Neighborhood Art Fund called Make Your Mark. And with that particular project, it's a sidewalk art installation. We have a visual artist, Anna Toten, who goes into the communities, has a conversation with the leaders, with the center director, and gets also feedback from the staff and other members of the community as to what they would like to see to be a part of that sidewalk art. She takes those ideas, and then she takes her paint, her brushes, her rollers, and then makes her magic and creates that sidewalk mural. There's also a little art center that goes with that component. And the little art center is stocked with sidewalk chalk. So anyone can come up, help themselves to some sidewalk chalk, and become engaged and create their own art or be inspired by the art that Anna has created.
That is so wonderful. It really brightens up a neighborhood and brings the community together. Barbette Hunter talking about the Neighborhood Arts Funds that you can apply at the City of Raleigh website. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Love that initiative. A UNC Chapel Hill alum has been named a winner for the prestigious Rhodes Scholarship. Justin Haddad is the newest Rhodes Scholar. He's an economics and applied physics major with a minor in Latin. The scholarship funds study at Oxford University, where Haddad will pursue a master's degree in economics. Today, the official White House Christmas tree will arrive in Washington, D.C., and First Lady Jill Biden will welcome the Fraser Fir tree in a ceremony with a National Guard family at 3 p.m. The 24-foot tree comes from Peak Farms near Boone. Three other trees from that farm are also headed to D.C. and will go up in the White House. Just ahead, a look at the advantages of taking selfies. We'll explain how this simple act could cut down on your doctor visits.
And it's possible Jeff Hogan might have missed his calling. Find out how he did on the hard court coming up.
Welcome back this noon. Something as simple as a cell phone selfie could help reduce complications following surgery. Researchers in Europe found that the post-surgery selfies were associated with fewer visits to the doctor and improved advice from physicians for patients. The key thing doctors were looking for this time was the time it took to diagnose a surgical site infection. And doctors say patients and staff have become used to having remote consultations, and experts say they can effectively and safely monitor wounds after surgery while patients can recover at home. Concussions can disrupt brain connectivity in teens. Researchers found adolescents and young adults who suffered 3 to 5 concussions had a disruption in the default mode network. It's a network of brain regions that becomes active when an individual is daydreaming, thinking about the future, or recalling memories. Changes or disruptions in the network have been linked to a wide number of diseases and mental disorders.
Cam Newton's first start back with the Carolina Panthers had flashes of what fans were hoping for, but another loss brings the team's record to 5-6. Newton says progress starts with looking in the mirror to find ways he can execute better. The Panthers travel to Miami to face the Dolphins on Sunday at 1 p.m. You can watch that game on Fox 50. Golfing legend Tiger Woods posted a short video of himself taking a practice shot out on a golf course Sunday. Woods has not played in a golf tournament since his car accident in February, and this 3-second video shows him taking a swing with a basket filled with golf balls by his side. And the caption on the post read, "Making progress." In recent months, the 45-year-old has been seen in attendance at his son's golf tournament, standing without crutches. He had a lot of injuries on his right leg from that crash.
And from that shot to this, there is a brand new halftime challenge this season at Duke basketball games benefiting Duke Children's Hospital.
You have 1 minute to raise $1,000 for Duke's Children's Hospital. No pressure for the free throw line. Fans, let's get jumping in.
My palms are sweaty just watching that again.
That was amazing.
So they had some former players try it. Marshall Plumlee tried it earlier on. The Duke Blue Devil tried it. He missed. The Duke legend Gene Banks took a shot at it. He missed. A miss is worth $500, but the make, that's $1,000 to Children's Hospital. So I was so happy to make that. Let me tell you. Oh, my
you
goodness.
Turned, how nervous were you?
Oh, I'm nervous just rewatching it. I could have tried it 10 more times and not made it.
You but, didn't get a chance to warm up or anything.
No warm up. No.
That's awesome.
I have to retire now. From
amazing form. Elbow bump. That was the best thing.
Thank you. I've never missed a shot in Cameron Indoor.
Coach K and Coach Shire are going to call you.
One for one. He was in at halftime, Elizabeth, talking to the team.
Oh, what? Man.
You're going to get a call.
I have no eligibility left.
Joe showed us this on Saturday after the Christmas parade, and our jaws dropped. Our eyes got bigger. We're like, what?
We're so proud of Jeff.
Oh, my gosh. It was so incredible. And we could watch that video over and over and over. Yeah. Amazing job. That's so cool. I'm liking the looks of this, though, too. That's the back edge of the rain that is moving out of our area, finally. I guess we didn't have an all-day rain, but it's not even that cold. I mean, around here, we could have like 38, 39 and raining. It's in the 50s. I don't know. I'm just being a crybaby. But look at that in Durham. You can see back to the west. There's the blue sky. That's the end of the rain. And we're going to see our temperatures fall. I think I'd rather have the cold air and the sunshine, though, than this chilly rain that we've seen today. Not that it's all about me, but there's a look at it. There it goes. It's out of here very quickly. By 3 o'clock, the rain is over everywhere. I will continue to see clearing skies. But then the winds will pick up and the cold air rolls in, but still, at least it'll dry out. There could be one more last shower that happens around 8 or 9 o'clock, right along the I-95 corridor. That just little disturbance kind of swings through right behind the front. And then that's it. And then our sky is clear. We drop down into the 20s for tomorrow morning. This is really sort of the last thing that is in the way of everybody's travel for the holiday weekend. We're looking at this high pressure system, the next one right behind it. High pressure systems tend to bring us quiet weather. So we're looking pretty good. There goes our front. Our skies will begin to clear and we'll widen out the view a little bit and talk about our travel forecast for the week. Our front leaves us today. There's a bit of a front that moves in, bringing some rain to Seattle, which is pretty normal, of course. But look at the rest of the country. Everything everything's nice and quiet. Those two big high-pressure systems are going to take good care of us. That system coming on shore in the Pacific Northwest kind of breaks apart into some snow showers over the Rockies. But that's it. But then watch what happens next. Now, we're going to have a beautiful Thanksgiving. We talked about that a little bit earlier. But a front does develop here across the Mississippi Valley, sort of the deep south, if you will, during the day Thursday. So if you're having to travel Thursday across sort of the middle section of the country, there could be some showers, some thunderstorms, especially the lower Mississippi Valley. And then this front moves in here late Thursday night, early Friday. It's going to be quick. There's not going to be a whole lot of rain with it, but there may be some snow up into the mountains if you're headed that way. But Thanksgiving Day itself looks really nice. Sunshine all day, mid-50s at lunchtime, and again, climbing into the low 60s during the afternoon. We take a look at our forecast for Friday for Nights of Lights. Looking early in the day at that slight chance of showers, but we'll see a high of 53 on Friday. And if you're headed to see the lights, of course, you'll have your windows rolled up and your heaters on, but temperatures will be falling through the 40s and into the upper 30s. After that, the weekend is looking fine. Now, we have a lot of chilly mornings in our forecast, but we don't have a lot of rain coming up for the holiday weekend, which is nice.
Thanks, Elizabeth. The man featured in the Netflix series The Tiger King is at a medical center in North Carolina battling cancer. What we're learning about Joe Exotic's condition just ahead.
Welcome back. Live look at downtown Raleigh right there, and you see the raindrops on that camera lens right there, messing up our beautiful view. It's just a gorgeous shot right there usually. There's a new NASA space telescope promises to have 100 times the power of Hubble. Today on WRL News at 4, why experts say it could be the answer if there's other life in the universe.
The man known as the Tiger King in the Netflix documentary series is receiving medical treatment in North Carolina. Joe Exotic was transferred to the Federal Medical Center in Butner last week. Before now, he was serving his sentence for a murder-for-hire plot at a prison in Texas. His attorney says he's been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and Exotic is getting treatment and tests for several medical issues.
Meet Ellie, a beautiful-looking brown tabby right here, almost 8 years old. She was a stray cat found in Raleigh. She is a little bit shy at first and will need some time to adjust to a new household. Ellie likes to sit on the couch with her foster mom and watch TV, but also loves the laser pointer. Safe Haven is open for adoptions by appointment and also accepting walk-ins. To complete an adoption survey, visit safehavenforcats.org.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Five people are dead and more than 40 hurt, including 18 children, after an SUV plowed through a Christmas parade in a Milwaukee suburb. Investigators are now looking into whether the driver was trying to get away from an earlier situation involving a knife fight. They're expected to provide an update in about an hour. We'll have details on WRL News starting at 4. President Biden and the First Lady will celebrate Thanksgiving early with troops at Fort Bragg today. They're set to arrive around 5:30. The event is part of the Joining Forces Initiative, which supports military families with a special focus on kids. This will be the president's first trip to Fort Bragg since taking office. The vaccine mandate for federal workers should not affect your holiday travel. Today was the deadline for federal workers to get their shots or file for an exemption. TSA says 93% of employees are in compliance already, meaning they are good to go for holiday travel. Nationally, 90% of federal workers are vaccinated, and another 5% are already exempt or have turned in applications.
We will continue to follow those developing headlines and much more, especially the rain situation and when that is going to move out when we return for news at 4.
We'll also have dropping temperatures. It will be very cold tomorrow morning. You can also get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. We hope you have a great day.